turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. We're continuing our series on living in the light of the return of the King, of the returning King, of Jesus coming back. And as I mentioned in the prayer, we are mindful of this, that we live in this era, but we are mindful too that we are awaiting. We are waiting for the return of Jesus himself. And how do we live in that, especially in the way that our world looks right now? And so 1 Peter 1, and we'll start at verse 3 and go through verse 9 of this text today. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord and Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, salvation for your soul. Have you ever received a gift ahead of time? Have you ever gotten a gift before the big celebration, before the big day? Maybe it's a birthday that somebody, a relative, a grandparent maybe, says, you know what, I can't be there on your birthday, but before your birthday comes, here's a gift. Or maybe it was for an anniversary that somebody saw your anniversary. Maybe a coworker gave you a gift before your anniversary showed up. Or maybe a graduation. I know that graduations sort of have taken a back seat right now. But maybe a graduation ceremony where you've received a gift ahead of time, just before the graduation party. I remember celebrating Christmas as a kid in my house. Christmas was celebrated on Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve night. And when I was a kid, we had this big, we lived in a big farmhouse, and about one-third of the bottom floor was one big room. It was a huge room. And in the huge room had two doors, like two entrance doors, one from a hallway and one from another room. And this huge room we kept closed for most of the winter because you know, it was just too much to heat the whole room with the whole house. But at Christmas time, we opened up that room and we allowed the warm air to come into the room. And we had the Christmas tree in that room. And we would invite extended family over sometimes to celebrate Christmas with us. But of course, it happened on Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, we had to have to go to church as well. And you can imagine as a kid that I was particularly whiny one year. Maybe more whiny than I am now even. And I remember this one year when I was particularly whiny, and I said, oh, Mom, can't we just skip the church part and get right to the presence. Like, can't we just not have this whole church thing? Can't we just get together? Can't we just open our presence, invite everybody over? Let's get the food out. Let's get the party started. Let's open our gifts. It's Christmas Eve. But of course, that wasn't going to happen. And so as it didn't happen then, and as I kept whining about it, my mom finally relented and she says, okay, I'm going to go get a gift for you. And so she reached in under the tree and gave me one of the small package. And I remember unwrapping the small package. The funny thing is about it, I don't even remember what was in it. But I remember opening up the small package and being all excited about it. Because in hopes, and my mom was hoping more than I was, that this would tide me over until that big event was going to happen later on. And so in essence, then I got a pre-gift. I was pre-gifted at Christmas Eve for the Christmas celebration of opening presents. Of course, the church service still happened. And of course, we had our party afterwards. But I was specially gifted with this little pre-gift, and it was great. It was just great. I felt good. Peter's talking about sort of the same thing in the text. He's talking about how we have to wait for this humongous, this large event that's going to happen at the end of time. And that's how he opens up today's passage. He says, we are waiting. He says, God in his mercy has given us this new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And so we are looking forward to an inheritance when Jesus returns. This inheritance, says Peter, is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. So we have an inheritance that is kept in heaven. It's locked away. It can never perish, spoil, or fade. It will not rot. It will not fall from the sky. Nothing will happen to this. It's assured, and it's there for us, and it's waiting upon the last time when Christ returns. Now, it's interesting that Peter uses the word inheritance, I think. Isn't it? What's the big deal about inheritance? What is involved with inheritance? It's not a gift. It's not something that you would necessarily, that you think, okay, well, that's something that you promised me, although it is that, and it is a gift. But what's the extra added little tidbit about inheritance? Well, inheritance implies some sort of entitlement, I think. Some sort of entitlement to say that, hey, you know what? This person is entitled to this gift, this inheritance. And why is this person entitled? For the most part, because this person is part of the family. There are variations with inheritance, as you know, but because this person is part of the family, that's how he or she receives an inheritance. And so it's an entitlement that you receive as just being part of the family. And that's what Peter's talking about today. He's saying, you're going to receive, you are invited to partake in the inheritance that's waiting for you in heaven. And in the meantime, you're going to have to go through struggle, through trial. And I think we get that. We get that in our day and age. We get that in our struggles. We just prayed about that a little bit. We talk about it all the time, about the struggles and the pain. In fact, we tend to go to that place quite quickly, don't we? Where we talk about our struggles and the strife and how bad COVID is and how bad our situations are. We go to this place because it is bad and we are struggling. Now, when Peter wrote this, when he says suffer grief in all types of trials, the idea that he's writing about, that we perceive that he's writing about, is that, okay, you are a Christian, and if you are suffering grief, you are being persecuted for your faith, first of all. You are being persecuted to the point where you are told to deny your faith or die. And you are also subject, likely subject to a leader of your nation, of the empire, who will just feed you to the lions or have you fight up against a warrior called a gladiator. So, very much so, these trials are often associated with physical pain and physical death. And we might not really understand that so much. We say, well, that's a horror, those are horrible times. But we are sort of suffering as well. I don't want to compare the two. I don't want to say, you know what? Well, we are suffering just as bad as they were, because there's points throughout history where people suffer way worse than what we have, than what we are now. And I don't want to diminish other people's suffering. That's where I want to go with that. I don't want to diminish other people's suffering or the suffering that Peter had. But I want to bring to the forefront about how other people in different ways are suffering with this virus that we have going on right now. And part of that is the long-term psychological effects that are going to take place because of it all. We may not contract this thing, but we are going to pay for this for years. Our children are going to remember this for years, for the rest of their lives. For good or for better or worse. At first, and maybe you'll agree with me, at first it seemed like a party, sort of. Like, okay, we got a couple of weeks off, yay. But this is the 10th week that we are outside of our church, regular church services. And as this continues to draw on, and we're not done yet, and as this continues to draw on, we are trying to find the best way to make worship happen, to try to make church happen, to try to make it all happen. And there are some wonderful people that are in the behind the scenes here who are doing their best and who are making it happen. And we're so thankful that they are doing that. But in the meantime, what's going to happen to us personally? What's going to happen to us as a group? What's going to happen to us as a nation or as a world? We don't know. But the effects are real. And in that is suffering. And so we are suffering griefs in all types of trials. Something like to a very bad analogy point, to my having to go to church on Christmas Eve. This is the point where we had to endure, we had to keep moving through. But, Peter says that we are given a gift, a pre-gift as well. We are given a gift that tells us that God is still with us. And he says that at the end of the passage today. He talks about that you have genuineness of faith, that you're keeping up with the faith. But he also says then, though you have not seen Christ, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And here comes the good part. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter uses the verb receiving. You are receiving in a very particular fashion, in a very purposeful way. You haven't received, past tense, although that is true too. And you will, it's not that he says you will receive, although you will, that is true as well. But you are receiving. You continue to receive. It's an ongoing promise of reception. You are constantly receiving this gift, this pre-gift, as you wait for the big moment when Christ returns. And what is that gift? The salvation of your souls. The salvation of your souls. You have received the salvation. You keep on receiving the salvation from God Himself. Now, how does the salvation come to you? Well, Christ died, Christ ascended, Christ was resurrected, so that the Holy Spirit could come and live within you. So you are receiving, through the Holy Spirit, you are receiving the gift of salvation. It keeps on coming into you. It's something that keeps on happening. And the beautiful thing about this is that it doesn't stop until that time when Christ comes back. And that even though you have to suffer in times of trial and you work your way through that, and the Spirit helps you work through that, through the muck and the mire of your lives. So in the struggle that we are living with, no matter what era we are living in, the struggle that we are living with is accompanied by the knowledge that Jesus, or that the Spirit through Jesus is living within us and guiding us and helping us to navigate the waters or the muck and the mire. And the Apostle Paul tells us that this Spirit is an inheritance, but the Spirit is a guarantee, it's a deposit. And we find that in 2 Corinthians 1, at verse 21, where it says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." It's an interesting term, deposit. The Holy Spirit is this deposit. It's the down payment, if you will. The down payment telling us that what is to come is going to come. Guaranteed by God Himself. This is the rock solid faith on which we live. This is what we need to remember as we are working our way through the muck and the mire of COVID and through the muck and the mire of our lives outside of that. We need to keep the faith by knowing in our hearts, persevering in our minds, keeping in our hearts and minds the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit is living within us. We are given a gift, a pre-gift, the gift of the Spirit. And as we move towards that time when we will fully recognize the end time when Jesus comes back and we are looking at what God's plan of salvation is for the end of all time, we can live in a place where we know how this is all going to work out for our good too. What a gift we've been given. This is praiseworthy. We need to give God praise and honor in this situation because of Him being with us through it all. It says it in Scripture. This is the truth. May the truth guide you and protect you. And may you be lifted up as you work your way through the struggles that you live through in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You once again that You have given to us Your Spirit, God Himself living within us. How much more can we ask but that God lives within us? We can't ask anything more, God. All we say is that it is you who deserves honor and glory. It is you who deserves praise and worship. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you continue to be with us as we persevere through this life. Help us to stay strong, to stay on the rails, and to always look to you, the object of our faith, the object of our worship. Thank you, God, in Christ. Amen.